The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Mm-hmm. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program, 888-727-BECK. You can also catch me, Pat Gray, on Pat Gray Unleashed, which immediately follows this show on the Blaze Radio and Television Network. Make sure you join us then. North Korea seems to be softening a little bit. Kim Jong-un may be realizing that there's a new sheriff in town. I think Trump's had something to do with this as well.
He's trying to save face a little, I think. It sure feels that way.
It really does. It's to the point where not only is his rhetoric softening, but his wardrobe is softening.
Yeah.
He's changed like the style of his Mao outfits to tone it down a little bit and look less menacing.
I don't know. That latest picture, though, that's a good haircut.
Oh, the guy's always been impeccable in his
love that
in his hair. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is tremendous.
Looks like it was cut by a blind person. But I think that's a good look. It's a really good look. It's gotten to the point where North Korea has wished the Winter Olympics games in South Korea, they wished them well. Meaning, okay, you're not in trouble there. I mean, we're not going to attack you during the Olympics. They basically came out and said that. They said that the sporting event reaches beyond all political division. Now, I've never heard that kind of talk come out of North Korea.
No kidding.
Maybe it's happened, and I just wasn't aware of it, but I've never noticed it, if it has. The Winter Olympic Games that will soon be held in the South will be a good opportunity to display the status of the Korean nation, and we sincerely wish that the event will be held with good results. That was according to Kim Jong-un. In a separate message, IOC President Thomas Bach said he was confident the games will be held without incident, and it certainly seems that way. So, and then there was some conciliatory language. At least that's the way I took it, and maybe he didn't mean it this way. After all the rhetoric that he has spewed about warmongering in the United States,
right.
Now they're saying the United States will never start the war. Now, I don't know if he meant by that we don't have the giblets to do that.
Yeah, I kind of got that a little bit like, you
but
know.
Still, well, if that's what you believe, then you've got no reason to call us warmongers, right? Then you've got no reason to say that we're on the verge of attacking you. If that's what you believe, then shut up.
Right. Well, this is his way to not be able to shut up, right? Because he can't shut up for his people, right? He's got to show off to
apparently,
his people, right?
Yeah.
So his way is saying, hey, I know you guys aren't going to start anything. I've got the little button here on my desk, and, you know, we can reach all the United States anytime we want to, but, you know, we're ready to fire back if you start it.
Yeah. And I,
you know,
it's interesting because he's got the little button on his desk. You know what? So does Donald Trump. And his button's a little bit bigger.
It's a tad.
Yeah.
And it's a tad bit bigger.
A lot more firepower there. And I think they're starting to realize that, and maybe that is behind all of this talk.
I mean, good, right?
And that's great.
Maybe we found a way to, you know, back out of it and let him save a little bit of face, even though I don't
fine.
Really, you know, okay, fine.
Yeah, let him have
if
that.
If it saves lives, great.
Exactly right. And if it helps the Olympic Games get pulled off without incident, then so
that's
be it.
Be,
that'd be really good.
No kidding. It's so interesting. I guess is the word that, you know, that it's in South Korea this year.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
As everything got, you know, fired up again.
I know.
All the rhetoric back and forth.
And we're right in the middle of it with the Olympics.
Yeah. Also, some interesting goings on at MSNBC and the Chris Matthews show. Have you heard about the allegations against him that he's abusive? He's got a really
Chris good, Matthews is
Chris
abusive?
Matthews, yeah.
No.
Apparently very abusive. And says that he runs at times openly derisive and brazenly sexist news operation that has led at least some of his staffers to describe themselves as victims of battered wives syndrome. At least three of the show's guests and two former producers have spoken out to the Daily Caller. Two former NBC producers independently alleged Matthews would rate the looks of his female guests on a scale and said Matthews was so abusive that the staff joked about being battered women. The interviews paint Matthews as a tyrant, likely to fly off the handle. Does that surprise you in the least? No. Not at all. You
not,
totally
does
expect
not surprise
that.
Me at all.
Eager to objectify women and made inappropriate sexual comments appear to be a matter of course. Both former NBC producers requested anonymity out of concern for their future careers. Now, if you're a former producer, if you're not producing for Chris, how can he affect you at this point? I don't understand that.
I don't either.
Chris Matthews is not that powerful a news person that he could reach out and and stop your career from afar. Stop it. One of them is actively seeking a job in the media, and the other still works closely with MSNBC. One expressed fears about being labeled a troublemaker and cited the string of former Fox News women who have all but disappeared from TV. Sadly, I know other women who won't even be an anonymous source regarding Chris Matthews because they're that concerned about the door closing on career opportunities. The producers, whose combined time at the network nearly spans the entire existence of Hardball, said Matthews frequently objectified female guests and staffers, inappropriately commented on their appearance and clothing. He would allegedly use pet names like Cutie and Sweetie Pie to refer to female guests and was constantly making uncouth and boorish remarks about women. He would eye down a woman who walked on our set or comment on their features or what they were wearing. According
this,
to one of them.
I mean, there's no way you don't believe this. There's no way
me,
you don't believe this.
No, I
absolutely, believe it.
I believe it 100%.
No way. There's no way this is not true.
I think you're right.
There's no way it's not true. Yeah, absolutely.
One host on a CNBC show was allegedly on the receiving end of many of his comments, tried to avoid being around him. She didn't want to be in the same room as him. She wouldn't want to get her makeup done if he was in there, too. Wow. I wonder, will this affect his situation at MSNBC? Know. It'll be interesting to see.
In today's world, it very well should.
Everybody else who's even been accused is gone.
You'd have a nice day.
Now, they've been talking about this with Chris Matthews for three or four weeks now, and he's still unscathed. Matthews has also creepily told then-CNBC reporter Aaron Burnett to get closer to the camera and asserted that vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin is electric, but could be hotter.
See, now some of this stuff. Now, I. Mm-hmm. No, never mind. Never mind. He's a bad guy, first of all. There's no question.
Yes.
But there's no accusation of any kind of assault.
No,
or anything like
I
that. He's just a bad guy.
He's actually touched anybody.
Yeah. He's just a d-bag. Yeah.
Yeah. But one former producer said, I would describe it as verbal abuse. The screaming is beyond the screaming you've ever heard. You just feel so under attack. He did it so openly. It's not just sexual harassment. What are you supposed to do when somebody is verbally abusing you and attacking you this way? Well, you leave.
Yeah. You get another job.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to be miserable like that. There are other jobs. You leave.
I mean, I get that, you know, you want to work in television or you want to work in television news or you want to work in radio. I mean, I'm there with you. I got it. But you can't.
And you shouldn't have to put up with this. No. But there are jerky people in every walk of life.
And we've all dealt with them. Yeah, we've all dealt with them in our jobs. And I don't know that, and I don't know that, you know, coming out now and saying, boy, that guy I worked for in 1984 was such a dirtbag. Okay. I mean, what'd you do then?
Nothing.
You waited for him to walk back down the hallway and turn the corner so you could go, man, that guy's such a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's
why the behavior continued all that time.
I know.
Right?
I know.
888-727-BECK. Bill in California. Hi, you're on with Pat Gray and Jeffy.
Good morning. Hi. I was listening to the opening part about President Trump and Obama, et cetera, et cetera. And my view, is that this President Trump has come along at the exact right time. He's one of the few people in that office who has actually come out and defended the Americans and actually expressed a love for America. And this is like the first time, the first president in my lifetime since Reagan. Reagan made us all love America and feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is coming in like to the rescue after 8 years of criminal regime of Obama's and the do-nothing, or well, not completely, but the silence of George Bush the 43rd, who was complicit because of his silence. I mean, it's like you have a cop sitting there, crimes are being committed, and he says and does nothing.
Yeah.
This is what ticks people off. It's like when you go to a movie and you see the hero finally stand up to the bad guy and beat the crap out of him or whatever kind of a thing. People are tired of getting beat up. And you know, Trump is not Mr. Nice Guy. He's not the decorative guy. I mean, he has been in very solemn situations when it's called for. But when the media and these countries, I mean, he slapped the UN. I mean, it's not a big slap, but they took money away from him.
Yeah.
And Kim Jong-un or whatever that crazy kid with a bad haircut is doing is seeing this. And he's going, well, this guy isn't just a, you know, speaks, you know, loudly and do nothing. He is actually doing both. And that's one thing that I think people are latching on to today, us just regular American people out here with no power except to maybe voice our opinion here or there or vote, which I do both of as much as possible, then somebody is actually listening. Somebody's actually doing something. And I'm tired of this elitist bunch of Republicans and elitist bunch of Democrats who are only there in Washington to protect the little pile of goodies that they have accumulated over the years, being these people in the government that you know, they abuse the hell out of their power. That's what Obama did. He's a multimillionaire now. I think just about every ex-president is a multimillionaire. And I'm, for the life of me, I can't understand why we're still feeding them money for Secret Service. They could pay for their own. Glenn pays for his own.
Yes,
why
he does.
Can't they? Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It's just nuts. There's no independence here from these people, and they're just sucking off the people of the United States of America who are out there trying to make a living for their families, where these guys are just like, they haven't a care in the world, except to come in like Obama does and lambast our current president, who's actually a real American president standing up for the real American people instead of all these foreign people. I mean, what about American dreamers? We keep hearing this stuff about all these poor dreamers. How about the American dreamers? We got plenty of children and people, I mean real children, not 20-some-year-olds, that they are, you know, that's a whole DACA thing. We have real Americans, real people here that have earned their way, that have, you know, stood up and gone through, like, you know, the immigrants. My daughter married an immigrant Canadian. They went through hell trying to get through this in this country. 10 years.
Yep.
All this stuff, and now they're handing it out. Brown and the Democrats in California, just you know, just a criminal state. We're not going to observe laws. I mean, look at that guy that just murdered that poor woman in San Francisco, totally getting off.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just, this is the kind of stuff that just ticks us off.
Yep.
And President Trump is actually turning and doing things. He's cutting regulations. He's cutting payments to the UN. I'd like to see him wipe them out. I understand he fired over 500 people from the VA.
Yeah.
You know, that are just, I mean, our troops are getting screwed by these people. And he's actually doing something.
Yep. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Bill. I mean, that was a mouthful.
That sure was.
But that's exactly how Donald Trump was elected president of the United States.
I was thinking
exactly
the
how
same
and why
thing.
He was elected.
Yes.
Because we're just fed up, and we just got the crap beat out of us for 8 years, and we were sick and tired of it, and somebody was going to stand up and say, okay, we've had enough of this.
Enough is enough.
And if he said it in a rude way, so be it. Good, in fact. For most of the American people. Good. I don't want you to say it nicely.
Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray. And Jeffy for Glenn this week. Then you can also tune in to Pat Gray Unleashed immediately following this on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. 888-727 Beck. Been talking about some of the accomplishments of Donald Trump. Frankly, I will admit I've been fairly pleasantly surprised during this administration. And Bill kind of summed up, I think.
He sure did.
A lot of what the American people feel and felt when they voted for him. They're just sick and tired of getting hammered by the left. They're sick and tired of the media. They want somebody who will call out the media, and they want somebody who will call out the left, and that's Donald Trump.
And they want someone who at least appears to stand up to other countries around the world and at least appeared to say that the United States is number one. He said, you know,
absolutely.
He goes, we're number one, we're the United States, and it's time to start
thinking
about us first.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, his first tweet of 2018 this morning, the United States has foolishly given Pakistan more than $33 billion in aid over the last 15 years. They have given us nothing but lies and deceit, thinking of our leaders as fools. They give safe haven to the terrorists we hunt in Afghanistan with little help. No more. I mean.
It's great.
I know.
Didn't he have a statement about Iran, too?
I know. Yes, he did. Tweet number two of 2018. Okay. Iran is failing at every level despite the terrible deal made with them by the Obama administration. The great Iranian people have been repressed for many years. They are hungry for food and for freedom. Along with human rights, the wealth of Iran is being looted. Time for change, in all caps. I mean, hello.
Yep. Again, he speaks his mind. And he's
well,
got tweet, people from,
tweets his mind.
From. Yes. Yeah, exactly. and he's got people in the Obama administration saying, shh, you should be silent on Iran. Like
right.
We were. Like we were back in 2009 when we did nothing and didn't encourage the overthrow of that horrifically oppressive government. They sat back. They said nothing. They did nothing. Why? Because they wanted to get this Iranian nuclear treaty done. That's why. They wanted to get that crappy treaty done with Iran. And so they said nothing and they did nothing. When they could have encouraged it.
Yes, they could have.
And maybe it could have brought about freedom in Iran. And so Trump's not going to be silent on this.
Good.
And they things are being fired up in Iran right now. There's massive protests every day. And it's, you know, unfortunately, there have been 12 people or so that have been killed.
And I would venture to say that number
it's probably much higher than that.
Yeah. I mean, it's ugly.
Because it is oppressive, and they're calling these protests illegal, and they've paid people to go out and counter-protest, and then they clash with the protesters. So it's going to be ugly. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But you've got an American president now who is encouraging people to seek freedom.
At least we're able to, you know, if they can hear it anyway, they know that, you know, we will, you know, if you want the change, we're here for you. We're not just silent.
Yeah.
We're not just going
right.
to let the regime on top of you pummel you forever.
What could have happened in 2009 had Obama taken that tactic? We might have a friendly regime in Iran. Who knows?
Think of that.
I mean, you know, it's not necessarily the most likely scenario, but it's certainly possible. And you can't get any more antagonistic against us than this current one.
No point, no kidding.
888-727-BECK. Much more coming up on Glenn Beck with Pat Gray and Jeffy.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn this week. 888-727 Beck, hard to believe that football season is almost over. Jeez, I hate that.
I do.
January 2nd is the worst day of the year. Holidays completely over. You got nothing to look forward to. You start to realize it's sinking in that football is coming to a screeching halt. It's cold. It's just a depressing day.
You know what? You're right.
It's just a crappy day.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. But some great bowl games to finish things up. Yesterday's Rose Bowl was fantastic. A double overtime Rose Bowl.
As a fan, it's exciting to watch. As a defensive coordinator coach.
Wow, that was a bad game for them. Ooh. There was no defense yesterday. None.
Oh. This is rough. And for a while, I thought that actually Oklahoma did have a little defense, at least for the you know, the first half. Anyway, that game, it felt like Oklahoma had that game in hand.
Yeah, they were up by 17 at one point.
And then, boy, the last play of the first half, Georgia kicked a field goal, and it was just a field goal. Mm-hmm. But it made the shift of that game like Georgia still got a shot at this.
Changed everything.
It sure did.
Yeah. Let's go to Don in Maryland. Don, you're on the Glenn Beck Program, Pat Gray and Jeffy. Hi.
Yes, you know, I think they ought to take the crappiest two teams in the NCAA and call it the Toilet Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
I don't have a problem with that.
We almost have that now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, how many bowl games were there this year? 41?
Something like that. Yeah,
meaning
yeah, something like that.
82 teams got a bowl.
I love it. Let them have a bowl. Who cares?
It's too many.
Oh, stop it.
It's too many.
Too many.
Thanks, Don. Jared in Oklahoma, welcome to the Blaze. The Glenn
Beck
Program.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
How you doing? Long time listener, first time getting through to talk to you guys. I'm very excited. You guys, earlier you referenced 1984 being a fantastic winning team.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone did. Don't say we.
Yeah, yeah. That guy, freaking mm-hmm. Pat. But if you go all the way back to 1954, 55, and 56, the Sooners were undefeated.
Yes,
right.
They were.
Well, that was just on the tip of my tongue, too. I was just about ready to mention that earlier.
I think it was
the break.
47 in a row, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah.
And then the
yeah.
next two seasons, they went 10-1 also.
Wow, so, did they really?
Yes, sir. They were fantastic back in the day.
Yeah. Good times.
I wish they would turn that up now and maybe get rid of Mike Stoops and get back to it, but...
For get somebody who can get the kids to play a little defense. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I mean, so far Link's done great this year for as a head coach, but
yeah.
Can I talk to you guys about Obama and Trump for a second?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I'm a 8-year Army combat veteran.
Thanks for your service.
Yeah, no problem. I enlisted under W. Bush. I spent 1 year under him, and I didn't figure there would be a big regime change, but I should have seen that coming. So I spent 7 years under Obama.
Wow.
And the poor leadership that he facilitated in the armed services is one of the reasons why you see a lot of people getting out instead of making careers out of it. Had there been positive leadership in mm-hmm. the military at the time, I probably would have stuck it out, done my 20 and been looking at retirement here soon, but
wow.
That wasn't in the cards.
Yeah, and I think Trump has turned that around.
Yeah.
At least I feel that way, yeah. And I think the military feels that way.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. He's taking the reins off. You know, the rules of engagement are back the way they ought to be. If someone shoots at you, you're allowed to shoot back at him.
But aren't there still plenty of people still involved in the military now, though, that were there under the Obama administration? So, I mean, Trump is still fighting that as well. Right? I mean, it's been pretty difficult for him to work his way through that.
Although, you're right, they have changed the rules of engagement. And look what's happened to ISIS since that happened. You can't deny the victories we've had against ISIS since Trump took over. It's
fantastic.
Yeah, it's changed everything.
When I was in a convoy going from Mosul to Key West in 2009, and we had an RPG shot at us, went between two fuel trucks, and we were not allowed to return fire
because
they were no longer a combatant.
Oh, that is unbelievable.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that costs lives.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's inexcusable. Thanks for the call, Jared. And again, thanks for your service.
Yeah, that was great.
Appreciate it. Must take you back a ways to your service on the island of Spice.
I was trying not to think about
right.
it.
Right.
You
know, yeah,
when
I know.
He was talking about, when he was talking
up.
About the battle, and I was trying, you know, I tried to get that out of my head, because it was so.
Yeah, I apologize then for bringing it up, because I know how traumatic that can be.
Oh, man,
for
we stormed that island, though, Pat. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I know. That seems to be where your sentence ends every time. When we stormed the island, oof, and then kind of left unsaid.
That's kind of like it's tough for me to think about that.
Mark in Florida, hi, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, Pat Gray and Jeffy, I got to tell you, you know, I had a question. I wanted your opinion on something about Trump, but this morning, all you've been doing is depressing me that football season is on September.
Sorry. I apologize.
Please stop. No, I want to say to you, I couldn't agree more with your Trump comments right now. America doesn't need a diplomatic president. It needs America needs more of a brawler president. But my real question is, Trump's 71. And be honest with you, you've seen those pictures of before and after.
I know.
It's already more famous than Abraham Lincoln.
It's already taken hold, Mark.
Do you think Trump's going to be able to survive 8 years?
I don't know. You know, it's funny that you bring that up, though, because I was looking at a picture this morning with our producer, Keith, and I was like, look at that. I mean, it's a big difference, and it's only been a year.
It does take a toll. It really does. I'm not sure he's going to want to.
I know. He might be able to say, I got enough.
Yeah.
Melania.
That's what I was thinking. But do you think if Trump leaves, I mean, Pence isn't going to hold the baton. I don't imagine him being the type of president that Trump is, to flip the tables and try to drain the swamp.
No, he'd be a more traditional type of president.
Okay.
A little more conservative, actually. But although.
And maybe again, after 4 years of Trump, that's what we'll need.
Maybe. Maybe. Okay. Appreciate the call. Thanks, Mark. You know, according to Melania, who said she doesn't think he'll run for a second term. She said that this fall sometime. Yeah. And so I don't know. It may take a toll on him, and he may want to get back to his businesses. We'll see.
I mean, he can use that's definitely be a great excuse for him. He has that excuse of I've got businesses to run, and
it's true.
I love you, and I've did my 4 years.
I did what I could.
I got back on track.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, take it.
Right,
and you know, and that's you know, great, no problem, because it has. I mean, I looked at a picture of him this morning, and it was shocking, really. It's only been a year, and it was. I mean, he was. He still got the Trump hair. I was I was actually looking at the hairdo of how he combs it.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of shots every now and then that you get a really good look at how he combs it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's thinning out a little bit on top there, a little bit more than it has been down. I mean, he's got to get that coiffed just right.
Well, do you remember when Obama went into office in 2009? He had black hair, and maybe a year and a half.
It wasn't long at all.
It took a toll quickly. Yeah. You can really see it.
I mean, look, there's no, that job is not an easy job. It's difficult to understand how someone would want to do it. But I'm glad that someone does.
Yes. It would be probably a little difficult for the country if the presidency was
just
unoccupied.
You know, we can't find anybody.
Yeah, we got a lot of bills on a desk, but nobody there to sign them. Chip in Alabama, you're on the Blaze. And the Glenn Beck program.
Mr. Gray.
Hey.
How are you this morning, sir?
Doing good,
I want to get straight to it. Several callers back, there was a gentleman that was talking about how Trump has people voted for him because they was tired of how Washington was not listening, and Trump does listen. But they're not fed up enough yet, in my opinion. I want your opinion, if you don't mind giving it, you and Mr. Jeffy. I don't know his last name, so I have to go with Mr. Jeffy.
Mm-hmm.
But I want y'all's opinion. If the American people were that fed up, then they would start voting senators and congressmen that's been there since Noah built the ark out of office and put new people in and let them see that that's not a lifetime job. If you don't do what the government, the American people want, you're our mouthpiece. You can be replaced just like somebody at a regular job. And that's what I wanted was your opinion, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thanks, Chip. Surprising somebody in Alabama didn't talk about the Tide. Crimson Tide, who won handily against Clemson last night.
He's probably an Auburn fan.
Might be. But my perception of term limits used to be, well, we've got elections. That's your term limit right there. If you don't want him around, vote him out of office. But we don't do that.
It doesn't seem like
so
we
do. So that's
why
I am now in favor of term limits. And I don't think anybody should be in office longer than 12 years.
And look,
so that's six terms for Congress people and two terms for a senator. And then you got to go.
Seems fair.
Yeah, that's what should happen.
That
because
seems fair.
Because the election process is not working to that extent where we are getting rid of this of these people who've gotten so comfortable in their jobs. But we're comfortable voting for them because we know their name. And it's easier to just vote for the person whose name you know that it is to do the research on their opponent.
Right. And you also have, I mean, we try, you know, when you say that, talk about that, one of the reasons that led to Donald Trump was the Tea Party movement and doing exactly that, right? Getting some of the new people in there and getting some new blood in there. And then we find out that the new blood is just like the old blood.
Yeah.
I mean, we got burned strong with that. So, I mean, that, and that, again, is part of what led to, look, we need a Donald Trump in office. We need somebody that can say, no,
yes.
Enough is enough.
That's right. Tahir in Texas. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, Pat. Happy
hey.
New Year.
You too.
You brought the village idiot back with you.
Yes.
Who's that? I mean, I'm here. Well, who are you talking about?
Exactly.
So I have a different theory about Kim Jong-un softening his stance with South Korea. I think that he's just stalling for time. I think that's all just an act, and it's a ruse. It's easy for him to play. He knows that if he plays nice, that, you know, we'll let our guard down, hopefully,
yep.
He thinks, and Trump will, you know, cut down his rhetoric a little bit, and that'll give him time to get his nuclear program up and running. And then before you know it, before we can even do anything about it, it'll be there, and we won't be able to do anything about it. And also one more thing.
That's Bill a happy thought.
California.
Thank you. Thank you for the happy thought.
Oh, yeah. Bill from California.
Uh-huh.
Amen, brother. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, sure did.
Thanks, Tahir. That was about a 4-minute soliloquy for a monologue.
Yes,
from Bill.
It was.
He didn't take a breath, and he had a lot to say. Rich.
He got it out, though.
He did. Yes, he did. All right. 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck.
Gray and Jeffy for Glenn this week. 888-727 Beck. Rich in Oregon, welcome.
Hi guys.
Hey,
it's out here in the socialist anti-American state of Oregon.
Yeah
baby.
Yeah, it's, well, that was it didn't used to be that way on the West Coast.
I know it's been it's been real sad that we've changed so drastically in such a short period of time.
It really is.
My thing is, I was telling the guy on the, whatever you call him, the phone guy.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that Bill guy. You know, there's so many people that are down on Trump. And the only reason they're down on him, I see, is he's a new guy and he's a businessman. And he doesn't take, why does it take 6 months to get something done? And he's done more in a few months than most presidents have done in anywhere from 4 to 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has. He's done a lot. And appreciate the call, Rich.
And,
yeah.
And no offense, but you guys sometimes are a little down on him when you shouldn't be, because you know he's trying to do a good job. But other than that, thanks for letting me call.
You bet. I mean, we're trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. He was not, obviously, our first choice. Mine, nor Glenn's, nor Stu's, nor Jeffy's. He was well down that list. And it's because some of the things that everybody loves about him and that I now kind of appreciate in him are some of the things I didn't like. You don't want a president who tweets every thought that enters his mind. You don't want that. You don't want a president necessarily with some of the baggage that he came with. We couldn't ignore those things. And I, you know, he's not super conservative. He's not conservative at all. And I think he would even tell you that. He's Republican, but he's not a conservative. So, yes, we have and had issues with him. However, as I've stated numerous times, he's been a pleasant surprise to me so far. You know, there's things I don't like about what he's doing, but there's been much to like and more than I thought there would be. And, you know, we're just always trying to be, it's not our job to sing the praises of the president, whether Republican or Democrat. It's our job to speak our opinions on the news of the day and the policies that people have. And so we do.
This is exactly why my first choice was Jim Gilmore. That's exactly why Jim Gilmore.
Right.
But,
yeah,
you know, unfortunately, yeah, he dropped out.
But he did.
And
sadly,
so we have President Trump.
We lost him.
We did. Him. Lost him early, too.
Glenn Beck.